But this evening, we want to keep going with our series that Pastor Chris has been walking us along with, and that's about relationships. And today we're going to actually talk about, we're going to talk about communication. That's what we're going to be looking at. So I think slide one is up. I'll keep track as much as I can with the slides. I'll do my best with that. And so slide one, today we're going to be talking about exactly that. We're going to be talking about relationships and what communication looks like in relationships, what it looks like, what it can look like, and so forth. And so we're going to actually go to slide two, and we're going to land on this. We're going to land on our scripture that's kind of been our base, kind of our foundation for this series. It's the one that we keep going back to no matter what topic we're touching on. And so what we're looking at here now is we're looking at Romans 12:2, and it says this. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let me read it for you again. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Actually, let God transform you into a new person. By what? By changing the way that you think. And then what's going to happen is you will learn to know God's will, which is good. And it's pleasing. And oh my goodness, it's perfect. Oh, I'm in. I'm in all the way for that. And so, yeah, this evening, if you want to go to slide three, this evening, we're going to look at communication in relationships. Communication in relationships. And as I was getting ready for this message, I thought, hey, I'm going to take a look at what Wikipedia or what Google's going to tell me communication is all about. And so I was like, oh, I need to find this definition. And so here's what I found. Communication is the process by which information is exchanged by individuals. It's the process by which information is exchanged by individuals. It's just very cold and very narrow with no depth. That's what this definition is telling me, that communication has no depth. It's just me telling you, you telling me, and that's it, and we're gone, and we're done. And I think, and I believe, that actually communication has to have far more depth than that. Because here's the thing about who we are. God didn't make us one-dimensional. God didn't make us just with a little bit of depth. God created us as complex beings. He made us with all kinds of depth and all kinds of stuff. He made us these beautiful creations, not just one tiny little piece of something. So then I think to myself, if that's who God made us, if that's how God made us, then what needs to happen is the way that we communicate with one another has to have at least that much depth. Because sharing of information, it's just like this. Yeah. And it's not going to get it done. Yeah. Not if God made us like this. Right. We're not going to even touch it. So it's got to be more than just the sharing of information. And I think what happens is this. I think most of us, I would like to think all of us in this space this evening, I think we all recognize the importance of good communication skills. Because here's the thing about people. Myself, you, everyone out there. Here's the thing about it, is that people want to feel both heard and seen. Whether that's between husbands and wives, whether that's a relationship in your family, brothers, sisters, cousins, stepbrothers, stepsisters, moms, dads, cousins, aunts, uncles, and so on and so on. So I'm Latino, I'm Chilean, and when I start naming family members, my family just goes like this. And it's like half of Northeast Calgary was my family. That's what it looked like. And I thought I had that beat. Like I thought, hey, I have the market cornered on family relationships. And then I met my wife. And my wife was born in Manitoba. So that means that she's Mennonite, because everybody is. And I found out that her dad, my father-in-law, had like 19 brothers and sisters, him included. So she won the game. Like, I had half of Northeast Calgary, but she had all of Southern Manitoba. And I was like, okay, you play the name game that they play, and it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm related to so-and-so down the road. Like, down here, somewhere along the line, we're related. So they gotta be real careful when they're, like, dating. Because you really, really have to dig in to find out that you're not related somewhere down the line. So relationships. We have relationships in our lives. We have friends, and we have co-workers, and we have neighbors, and we have fellow students. And every single one of those people that we're in relationship with, us included, what we want is we want to be seen and we want to be heard. The truth is, I even really want my barista to understand me. Because I found out last weekend on Family Day, I found out that it's really important that your barista understands you, because if they don't, you're going to end up with a decaf coffee. And what I found out last Monday was this: don't get a decaf coffee because it strips the flavor away from your coffee. I didn't know this. I just thought, well, I'll drink a decaf because I want to sleep tonight. And now I'm like, I'm never drinking decaf again. And my barista knows this. And my barista needs to understand this. I need to communicate enough with my barista that this is why I don't want decaf. You're ruining the flavor. That's what's happening. We want to be seen and we want to be heard. This is who we want to be. This is how we want people to see us. How does that happen? It happens with good communication. Yeah. It happens with good communication. But the world, or our host culture, they actually use a very specific lens when it comes to the idea of communication. It's a very specific lens that the host culture wears. And it goes like this, and it looks like this. I will be seen. And I will be heard, even if that means that nobody else is going to be heard. This is what the world lens is telling us. That communication is a one-way street. It has become more about self than anything else. What are my needs? What are my wants? What are my thoughts and what are my opinions? Man, that's just one-way communication. And this is the lens that the world has right now for the idea of communicating in relationships. You actually don't have to go very far to see this kind of lens in action. So I'm a social media guy. Like, I'll come clean. I'll be super transparent up here. I'm not afraid. Like, you guys can pray for me later. But I like my Instagram. I really do. Like, I spend far more time. I don't like checking at the end of the week how many hours I've spent on Instagram, but I like it. There's some funny stuff and there's some funny people on Instagram. And I don't have Snapchat anymore because, like, I'm 49. And I realize I'm far too old for Snapchat. Like, I can't do Snapchat. But I like my social media. I like Facebook. I scroll past a lot of people. I really do. And I don't unfollow people, but I hide them for 30 days at a time. I'm really good at it. I'm like, oh, this guy's cuckoo. I'm gonna put him away for 30 days, but I can't wait to see what he puts up in 30 days. And I go back to it. So I'm a social media guy. And you know what? Here's the thing. If you want to see the world lens in action when it comes to communication, hop on some social media. I give you 10 minutes on social media. And you're going to see the world's lens of communication. Because it's going to be all over the place. It's either going to be an argument. Go on there and post something that you think is a little bit controversial on your Facebook and see what happens. Because your comments, they're going to blow up. Like, here we go. Like, I don't care what side of, like, the vax you sit on. But go on, put something on there. See what happens. Oh, man, it's going to be fireworks. It really is.
Right? And so just go on social media and you're going to get a taste of what the world lens looks like when it comes to communication. There's this phenomenon that actually is out there right now, and it's called the Karen or the Ken. And I'm sorry, right now, I don't know you all and I don't know your names. I didn't pick the name. Okay, I didn't pick the Karen or the Ken. That's not, I had nothing to do with it. If it was up to me, I would have been like the Carlos. No, I don't, people call me Carlos all the time. That's why. And so there's this phenomenon where there's a Karen and there's a Ken. And what happens is, it's actually when people are losing it over feeling like they haven't been seen or heard. And it happens all over the place. Like it happens, you see videos of people are like the fast food joint. And they're yelling and they're screaming and they're grabbing stuff and throwing it over the counter. And you see it on the street when someone feels like someone was slighted because someone cut them off. Or you see it here, you see it all over the place. It won't take very long. And you see these people just losing their minds. Because they don't feel seen and they don't feel heard. And what happens is they start screaming and they start with words. And then, very quickly, the emotion takes over and they start to lose control and it turns into physical altercations. Like, go home after this. Don't do it now because, like, I can see you if you're on your phone. Okay? And that, like, if you're scrolling on Facebook right now, like, I'll mention it from here. Because, like, I don't know you guys very well. So I'll be like, hey, are you on Facebook right now? Because, like, I'm talking. So I'll call you up. So just so you know. So don't do it now, but do it later. And you'll see. You'll see what the world lens looks like. Because what our host culture says is this. It says, everyone who has some type of relationship with me should adjust to my wants and my needs. Everyone that I have any kind of relationship with needs to adjust to me. That's what the world culture is telling us. And then they paint it up real nice. And they say, hey, I'm just taking care of myself. Like it's healthy. Like I'm loving myself. And they paint it up as something that's mentally healthy for you. And emotionally healthy for you. And spiritually healthy for you. And they're like, you just gotta love yourself. Doesn't matter who you step on as you love yourself. So this is what the world's telling us communication should look like. Me, me, me. Slide 4, please. Again, we're going to look at what Paul wrote in Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person. By doing what? By changing the way you think. And then what's going to happen? You will learn to know God's will. Not my will. Not I. But God's will. Which is what? It's good. And it's pleasing and it's perfect. Because it's God. So what we need to do in our relationships and in our communication is this. We need to let God transform the way that we think. Let me put it this way. If the world lens looks like this, then we need to let God change our lens. And so this morning when I was sharing this message, my glasses were a mess. And I went into my car and I went to get one of those little wipes. And I didn't have one. So then I tried to clean my glasses on my shirt. Which I never do because it scratches your glasses. And these cost me a pile of money. And so I never do that. And so I thought, well, I have no choice. I can't even see my laptop. And I went to clean it. Just smear. And if you wear glasses, you know what it's like to have dirty lenses. One speck. One speck. Throws you completely off if you're wearing glasses. Like, I wear glasses, and yeah, one tiny little speck, I'm done. I'm like, I can't, I'm pulling off to the side of the road. I can't keep doing this. My whole world's turned upside down. And then when you clean your glasses, so tonight I brought one of these little wipes, and just before we came in, I wiped my glasses. And I was like, oh, that's gold, baby. Put them on. Oh, now I can see all your beautiful faces. Man, can I see your faces? And you're all just beautiful. And so, what we need to do is this. We need to let God change the lens that the world is giving us for communication. So that we can do what? So that we can see His will. Which is what? It's good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect. His will that is not selfish, and it's not greedy, and it's not wrong. This is the lens that we need to put on in our relationships, and in the communication within our relationships. If you could go to slide 5 for me, that'd be awesome. There's 4 levels of communication that we can use with the people that are in our lives. And so the first one is surface communication. Surface communication. This is where we talk about the weather. And we talk about news. And we talk about sports. I said, I love sports. I don't play any sports. Well, I play soccer because I run soccer clubs with middle school kids. But that's not really fair because I'm way bigger and stronger than they are. And I just shove them. Like, I literally just shove them out of the way. I don't care. I'm a mentor. I don't care. I'm going to push these kids out of my way. And I do it all the time. And I'm not even ashamed about it. So I love sports. I'm a sports guy. And I really do feel like sports probably should have been, like, in deep conversations. But it's not. Because I'm passionate about my sports. And I'm a Flames fan. For those of you who were wondering. Yeah, I still am. It's been a tough season, but I'm still there. I keep looking over here and I see that Oilers hat. I'm working through it. I'm changing my lens so that I see a Flames hat instead. Just kind of smudge my glasses a little bit. So surface communication, it's when we're talking about light stuff. Sometimes we're actually even talking about the things that we care about, but we're talking around them. And the thing about surface communication is this. It's not going to build anybody up, but it's not going to tear them down either. It's kind of just there. But it's still far more useful than we actually give it credit. Like, we can't just brush it under the rug because it actually has value. What happens with surface communication is that it allows us to begin the process of relationship. It allows us to begin the process of relationship and communicating. So it actually does have value when you're telling someone that your hockey team is better than theirs. And so I will do that probably several times tonight. Our second level of communication is general information. General information. What is this? This is the mental level. This is where we talk about ideas, and we talk about facts. We talk about non-controversial beliefs. We talk about plans, and we talk about strategies. And there's some people where they spend a lot of their resources at this level, because for the most part, most of our professional conversations land in that spot. And so some people spend a lot of their resources right here because they want to be the best communicator at work professionally. They want to move up in their profession. And so they spend all their energy there, and they actually just stop there because they feel like they've reached the top level of communication. But there's more. There's actually 2 more. The next 2 levels that I'm going to share with you here is 2 levels that go far deeper. And there's actually a super wide space between the first 2 levels and the second 2 levels. And so we have deep feelings or emotional level. And here's where we start to talk about our wants. And we start to talk about our needs and our aspirations. And we talk about our fears. And we talk about our joys. This level, this is where your eyes are going to well up. And your lip is going to quiver, and your heart is going to start to pound, and then your words are going to become more passionate, because now you're starting to share from your heart. Now you're starting to share from your core, and the things that you're saying and the things that you're sharing, they're going to touch your emotions and they're going to touch your spirit, and you're going to be like, oh, this is what brings me joy, and it's gonna fill you, and your eyes are gonna well up, and you're gonna cry, and you're gonna be like, oh, this brings me so much joy, and oh, this scares me so much that I'm shaking. Birds, I'm scared of birds, in case you were wondering. I'm being vulnerable with you. I'm super scared of birds. My wife's laughing at me because I'm sharing it. Stupid birds, they'll peck your eyes out if you give them a chance. I'm just going deeper with you guys here. That's all. You can talk to me about birds later if you want. And if you want to pray for freedom for me for that, you can, but people have. And I haven't accepted it yet. Next level. Deep needs. This is where we open ourselves up to vulnerability, but vulnerability without the fear of rejection. Because that's something that really stops us a lot of the time, is fear of rejection. But when we're at this level of communicating with the people that we have relationship with, that fear of rejection is gone. This communication reaches to our very core. And it actually speaks to our belief of worth and value. How we see ourselves or believe ourselves to be, our very worth and our very value, and the worth and the value of those around us. And that's deep stuff. And the thing about these four levels of communication is that we can be at different levels of communication with different people in our lives. We're not going to be at the same level with everybody that we know. And at the same time, it's not going to be a checklist for every relationship that you're in. You're not going to walk around with your little cheat card and you're going to have someone's name on here. Let's see, Chris McDonald. Well, I've known him for this long. We have talked about sports. I think he's an Oilers fan. I'll give him a check anyways. Oh, hey, we talked about this. Oh, we talked about vision. Oh, look at me and Chris. We're like on level 3, baby. I think I'm gonna get some extra coins or something if it was a video game. This isn't how it works. This isn't what we're doing with this. That's not what this is meant for. So that we can walk around and pat ourselves on the back because we checked off all the boxes in this relationship. It's for us to understand that these are places that we can be with people. And in the middle of being in those places with people, these are the words that we're going to be speaking over people. So for me, so there's a group of dads. Like, I pick my daughter up at school every day because it's just the way our schedule works. So I'm at home in time to go pick her up. And so there's a group of dads, like I think 3 or 4 of these guys, they pick up their kids too after school. So apparently none of us actually have real jobs, is what it is. Or I don't know, maybe they're retired. I'm like, you guys are all younger than me. I don't know. Go to work. Like, what are you doing here every day, dude? Get a job. No, I don't say that because words have the power of life and death. So don't say that. But I meet with these guys every day when I pick up Ruby. And this is where we're at. We're at this place where it's surface. And literally every day we talk about what? We talk about the weather. Like, every day. Like, it's February. And we started this like in September, and it's literally like Groundhog Day, the movie. Every day, it's the same thing. We walk up, I'm like, so, it's pretty cloudy today. Yeah, it's pretty cloudy, eh? Man, it's a lot of clouds. Yeah, dude, we live in Victoria, it's cloudy. Like, what are you? It's rocket science here. Or, oh man, I'll be sitting there with my umbrella. Other guys with us, like, we can't even stand close to each other because we're all standing there with umbrellas. It's like, whoa, it's raining today, hey? Yeah, it's really coming down. I can't believe how much it's raining. Dude, it's January, it's raining every day, literally. But this is our conversation every day, every day. How's the weather? But you know what? Here's the thing. We don't go much deeper than that. But I love seeing those guys after school. And when they're not there, I feel lost. Like, I'll go and stand there and I'll be like, well, I'm not going to go talk to the moms. And I'm not going to go over here. Well, I'm just going to stand over here by like the basketball pole by myself. Because I don't know what to do with myself when these guys aren't there. And when we see each other, we make a beeline for each other. It's like we're running across the field and we're going to hug and kiss. Shouldn't be hugging and kissing during surface communication. That's not part of it. It wasn't in my notes. So this is the relationship I have with these guys, and it's important. Because what we're doing is we're starting the process of relationship. We're in it. And we look forward to seeing each other. I have a couple of other friends where I call them up and I'm like, hey, it's Wing Wednesday. Let's go. And we go for wings and we go to the pub. And yeah, I go to pubs and I indulge in chicken wings. Oh my goodness, I love chicken wings so much. If you guys are ever wondering if you want to gift me anything, chicken wings. Chicken wings. Like, it's like, that's like, I think that's what we're going to eat in heaven. We're going to speak Spanish, and we're going to eat chicken wings. I think that was prophetic. But these guys, I call them up, we go out for wings, and we sit down, and we talk about something completely different than the weather. We sit down, and we talk about parenting, and how hard it was to parent this week, and how many times I think I got it wrong with my 15-year-old. And then my other friend's going, yeah, you know what? Like, my 13-year-old is making me crazy. And here's what I did, and here's how I reacted. And I feel like trash, because I reacted harshly, and I'm trying to make it up to him, but he's not talking to me for 2 days. And these are the conversations that we're having. And we share our hopes and our dreams, and we talk about our feelings. Because that's where we're at. So we can be at these different levels with people at different times. Slide 6 for me, please. There's one thing that we can say for certainty is that communicating with people is not easy. Not much I can say 100%. It's not easy to communicate with everybody all the time. Because stuff gets in the way. Like, it really does. And what I'm just going to share with you 4 barriers. Actually, the list of barriers is far longer. But this is 4 barriers that get in the way of communication in our relationships. The first is withdrawal. And this is when we emotionally or physically leave the conversation. It's called the shutdown. It's the, I'm out of here. I'm done with this conversation. I'm done talking with you. I'm out of here. I'm checking out. I'm going to go somewhere where you're not. Like, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to start doing yard work. Or I'm going to go and start doing this chore that needs to be done just this very minute. Like, this dishwasher needs to be emptied right now. And I'm like, how? It's dirty. What are you doing? I'm putting the dishes away. And this is the checkout where you just don't even want to be in the same room with that person. You just want to go away from them. You pick up your phone, or you pick up your tablet, or you turn on the TV. And you just don't want to be around anymore. You just don't want to be next to that person. I've been there lots of times. In fact, I've even gone to watch the Canucks play so that I didn't have to have the conversation in the kitchen that me and my wife were having. And it's the Canucks. They're terrible. That's right. I'm going to keep harping on them because they're worse than my team. It's the shutdown. It's the silent treatment. I'm not going to talk first. Me and my wife, we're pretty good at that sometimes. We've become far better, and we've had some help along the way as to how our communication needs to work for both of us to be healthy. But there were times early in our marriage where we could go for at least 2 or 3 days, where it was like, all right, you're going to crack first. I could not talk to you for 3 days. I'm going to win. I never won, by the way. She's far stronger than me. It's this idea of sleeping as far away from each other as possible. You're in bed and you're not touching. And you're on one side and you're way on the other side. And again, I've been in that place where, like, my leg or my foot is hanging over the bed, touching the floor, because I'm not going to touch you at all. And I laugh because when we go to Calgary quite a bit. All our family's in Calgary. So we go back every summer and we stay at Heidi's parents, so I'm my in-laws. I love them to death. They're just wonderful people. And they have this room that we get to stay in, and the kids sleep elsewhere. But the problem is that the room that we share is got a double bed. And so at home, we have a queen. So when we don't want to, like, acknowledge the other person, we got lots of space in a queen. And like, I don't want to buy a king. We've talked about buying a king, but I'm like, absolutely not. That is far, like, we might as well be in two different rooms. But at my in-laws, we have a double. And we've been at my in-laws enough times that we've had some problems with our communication. And then we have to go to bed. But the beauty of it is that a double head gives you no room to run. You have to stay in there. And it doesn't matter how you lay down, something is going to touch the other person. And you can't get away from it. Nobody's laughing at me. It's the withdrawal. I'm withdrawing from this. The second barrier is this, is escalation. And now you've moved away from the silent treatment. Now you're going to make sure that the other person knows that you're upset. Like, now you're not zipping it. Now you're going to let that person know one way or another. You're going to make sure that they know that you're upset. And your voice is going to get louder. And your temper is going to start to flare. Things are going to get slammed around the house. Doors are going to get shut harder than they need to. Drawers are going to get shut harder than they need to. Because now you're letting that person know. And what happens in escalation is this. You're going to get swept away in those emotions. And when I was talking about the Karens and the Kens freaking out and yelling and then grabbing their milkshake that was the wrong flavor and they throw it across the counter and hit that person in the face, guess what's just happened? Escalation has just happened. Now you're going to hear me and I'm going to do this. It was supposed to be a vanilla shake, not chocolate. Other way around, because chocolate's way better. And then what happens is we get into these dangerous levels. These levels where our words get involved, but with a purpose. To hurt. Our words get involved with a purpose to hurt the other person. And that's belittling. And what happens here is that you find that your emotions of anger and frustration have completely taken over. And now you need to win at all costs. And yeah, you're going to use your words to hurt and to cut because you need to be right. What it is it's insecurity taking over, and now insecurity is driving the car. I won't be small. I won't be taken advantage of. And what you do is you find yourself speaking death instead of life over someone. It's when sarcasm comes in and snide remarks come in and criticism. It's classic bullying. You're going to put that person down to put yourself up. Like, it couldn't be any more classic. And that's what happens when we're belittling someone. And then we get to a super dangerous level, and it's false belief. And this is where someone can start to believe about themselves what has been spoken over them. You see, the devil, he couldn't be more pleased when we believe the lies that are spoken over us. John 8, the devil is a liar, and he's the father of all lies. And if he has an opportunity to twist our words to cause damage and hurt, he'll do it every time. He will not miss his opportunity. Every time that we open our mouths, we have the opportunity to speak life or death. We have the opportunity to advance the kingdom of life and heaven, or we have the opportunity to advance the kingdom of death and darkness. Slide 7 for me. Matthew 12, 36, 37. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can be your damnation. So back in the day when we were still in Calgary, oh, it feels like 100 years ago now, I was working at a church and I was in youth ministry. I was the youth pastor slash associate slash setup guy slash janitor. I did a little bit of everything. I cleaned a few toilets in my day. And this was my position. And we had a youth group that we had going. And we were in this low-income neighborhood, lots of newcomers to Canada, single parents, all that kind of stuff. This was our demographic. And so we started our youth group in that place. And what happened is that we decided that we were going to try and pull some of the kids from our neighborhood. And so we started setting up these hot dog barbecues outside, and we drew a bunch of kids, and things were going well. And we were telling kids about Jesus, and we had a group of about 30, 40 kids, and probably about 85, 90% of the kids were neighborhood kids that were unchurched, and their parents didn't come to church, and their parents didn't sit in the pews, and their parents didn't tithe, and they didn't do any of these things. But these kids came on Friday night, and we got to love on them and tell them about Jesus. And things were going really well, and I was feeling pretty good about it. And one day, one of the leadership in our church, he comes, I'm in my office, and I tried not to spend too much time in my office, because that's not a good formula for youth work. But I was in my office, and this guy came in, and I thought, oh, hey, he wants to chat about how things are going. And he sat down, and I was ready. I thought, oh, he's going to pat me on the back. I'm going to feel real good about myself today. Sweet. And then it went completely the opposite way. He came up with a list of all the things that made me unqualified to be a youth minister, pastor. And he came up with this list, and he said, hey, you're not administrative enough. Oh, hey, by the way, you're not educated enough. And you're not this, and you're not that. And he literally went through a list of all the things that I failed in his eyes. And what happened was, is that I believed him. I believed every single word that he said. And not too much longer after that, I resigned my position. And I walked away from it. I went back to painting houses. Because the devil took the opportunity to twist words and change them up and speak lies into my life. And I believed it. And I walked away from it. Until years later, my friend Lindsay Hodges took over Youth for Christ Victoria, and I got a phone call from him. And he said, Claudio, we have this position where we feel like we want to work in schools, and it's campus life, and we want to see if someone can go into schools and partner with schools and love on kids in school. Essentially, you'd be a chaplain, but not the chaplain. And I was like, oh, dude, I'm painting. Like I'm not doing ministry ever again. Like, I'm done. And he said, you know what, Claudio? I can't think of anybody else who could do this job but you. And you know what happened? I believed him. I believed him. Wow. 9 years in, we're in schools, and we're loving on kids. Slide 8 for me, please. George Bernard Shaw said this: the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. Let me say that for you again. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. And I go back to that conversation that I had in my office with that church leader, and I think to myself, do I really believe that he wanted to advance the kingdom of death and darkness over my life in ministry? I'm actually going to choose to believe that wasn't the case. That he didn't come in with that intention. But was he careless with his words? Yeah. Did he actually believe that good communication took place in that moment? I think he did. But the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. So here's what we know. We know that our host culture uses a me-first lens for relationships, and that affects the lens that we use for our communication in those relationships. So what do we want? We want God to transform us. We want God to change the lens. And so let's take a look at God's way for communication. Slide 9 for me, please. We're going to look at God's way. The first one is this, words of praise. Proverbs 25:11, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Oh, that's beautiful. When Solomon's writing this, when Solomon writes, word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, this is what Solomon is speaking. He's saying that Solomon speaks this, of the tremendous value of wise words that are offered at the right time. That's what he's saying here. The value of words offered at the right time. See, words carry value. And then they give value to those that they're spoken over. So words carry value. And then they give value to those you're speaking that to. Then we look at thanksgiving. Proverbs 18, 21 and 22. The tongue can bring death or life, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So whether you're speaking death over someone or whether you're speaking life over someone, there's going to be a consequence. There's going to be a consequence, one way or the other. Which side do you want to land on? Slide 10 for me. Affection. Jeremiah 31:3. Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. The Lord said, I love you. Let's use words of affection with one another. Telling someone that you love them doesn't make you a weak person. Our host culture, that lens tells you that if you open yourself up and be vulnerable and you tell someone that you love them, that you're in trouble. Don't do it. You've opened yourself up. But the truth is, if you tell someone you love them, it makes you stronger. Because the world is telling us the three hardest words to say are I and love and you. And you know what God's saying? He's telling us over and over and over again, I love you forever. Like, I love you forever. That is what God is telling us. Use words of affection with one another. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your children, tell your brothers, tell your sisters, tell your neighbor, I love you. Encouragement. Ephesians 4:29. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. And do this by speaking words of grace to help them. And so one of the things that we did when I was running, one of the programs that I used to run in the schools that I'm in now, we used to run this program called Heroes. And it was a resiliency program. It helped kids build the tools to have resiliency. So we would teach them about character and confidence, and we would have like 14 weeks in the classroom, and we would teach them all these things that helped them with their resiliency. And we had, I remember way back, we had our very first class, and we had this group of grade 6 students that we were working with, and I had this girl that was in that class, and I'm going to call her M. And so Em was in that class, and Em would sit towards the back, and she'd have her hat pulled down real low, and she'd have her hood on if I let her get away with it, and she didn't really want to engage too much. And what happened was, in these sessions, the kids all had these workbooks, and they had to answer questions in these workbooks. And one of the questions that we asked about 3 weeks in was, what kind of words do you hear at home? Do you hear any words that are negative and affect you negatively? Because we were trying to get an idea of how we were going to speak to these kids later on. And so we had that session. I took the books home that night, and I'm going through this book, and M's book comes up, and I look at it, and I open it up, and when this question's answered, she says, at home, I hear that I'm worthless. Every day, my mom tells me that I'm worthless. And so what happened after that was that now I knew how I was going to speak words of encouragement and grace over Em the rest of the time that I had in that classroom. And so I knew Em from grade 6. I still know Em now. She's graduated high school. She's 17. And I still get to connect with her sometimes. And what happened was, even this last Friday, she showed up at my youth group. She doesn't connect all the time, but she shows up. And she showed up last Friday. And she got to hang out with me. And we were running Alpha. And she's not a believer. But she showed up for youth group. I told her, hey, we're doing Alpha at 6 o'clock. She showed up at 6 o'clock. We got to talk about God. And we got to talk about the idea, if God was a pool, how close are you to that pool? Are you dipping your toe in? Are you looking at the pool? And she came and she sat down and we had a great conversation about that. And she told me, Claudio, actually, I'm not even in the pool house. I just pulled up. I'm sitting in my car. I was like, okay, I'm so glad you came to the pool house today, Em. I'm so super glad that you're here. What I would love for you is to come on into the pool house one day. Dip your toe. Taste and see what is good. Words of encouragement. When she was 12, I still get to speak into her life now. Slide 11, kindness. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And again, in schools all the time, there's a shirt day for everything. And so this last week we had a pink shirt day. If you know what pink shirt day is, if you don't, it's anti-bullying day. And everyone wears pink shirts and you have all these pink shirts. And so I have my pink shirt and my pink shirt says, be kind, I think is what it says. And then in a little circle it says, in a world where you can choose to be anything, choose to be kind. Let's use our words of kindness. Truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Instead we will speak the truth in love. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body and the church. Instead we will speak what? The truth. Because we love people, at some point we want to speak some truth into them as well. And so I have another student, another kid that I met in my ministry stuff. I'm going to call her Elle. And so Elle, I met again when she was probably grade 6, grade 7. And she connected with us and started coming out to our Friday night. Elle has not had a good life. She's had a difficult life. And her folks struggled with addiction. And then what happened is that Elle didn't feel loved by anybody. And she didn't feel accepted by anybody. So she was looking for affection, but she didn't know where to find it. So she started looking in the wrong places. And she found it all right. She found some attention, but it was the wrong attention. And it really changed Elle's life. And now Elle struggles with addiction herself. She's 17. And so when you go on Facebook or any other social media and you see like VicPD is looking for this at-risk youth, if you see this youth, please contact this number. Elle is my kid that comes up on that all the time. Like she comes up over and over and over again. And she's on the streets in downtown Victoria. And we find her some days and sometimes we can't find her for weeks. This is Elle. And I love her. Like she's one of my very own. And Elle shows up at our youth group sometimes. I feel like the Holy Spirit draws these kids back into a space where we get to speak life into them. And so Elle shows up sometimes. Sometimes she's a mess. And we gotta like keep her away from everyone else because she's a drug addict. And so sometimes she shows up super high and she's like, I'm just coming to use the Wi-Fi. I'm like, no way, you're coming to be loved. That's what you're showing up for. And so she still shows up once in a while. And when she shows up, what I do is I speak truth into her life because I love her. And so I tell her, Al, I love you so much that I'm going to tell you that this is going to kill you. I know it's going to kill you because people are dying every day from this. I know it's going to kill you because some of my friends have died from this. I know it's going to kill you because I'm an ex-addict. And I know where I should have been because I should have died 1,000 times over. And so because I love her, I have to speak truth into her life. and say, I know this sounds harsh, I know this sounds mean, I know this sounds critical of who you are, but I love you so much that I'm going to tell you the truth. The choices that you're making are going to kill you. Use your words and speak truth in love. Slide 12, prayer. Psalm 16, 8 and 9. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will rest secure. Because God is who he is with us, and he is for us. Then, our tongues, the tools, the tool that we have to express our innermost rejoices. Because God is who he is with me, and he is for me. Then my tongue, which is the tool that I have to express my innermost, needs to rejoice. And at the same time, in that rejoicing, we will use it to pray for others and with others. This is God's lens for communication in your relationships. Slide 13 for me. So here's what we know. Communication is vitally important for the health and the depth of our relationships. It is here where we feel seen and we feel heard. And this is where we can help others experience being seen and being heard. Our choice of words matters because they can set the tone and the atmosphere of our relationships. When we were teaching that Heroes program, we had two sessions that we had fully dedicated to just words, because what we understood was this. We understood that words help us to develop a deeper relationship with kids. And then we had the opportunity to really speak into the lives of those kids. And so this past weekend, I received a note on my messenger. And it was from a youth that I worked with 10 years ago. So he's 25 years old now. And this was way back in Calgary. And I want to share a portion of this with you today. This kid, before I read it to you, this kid made me laugh. He was one of our neighborhood kids. He was an angry kid. He really was. And I remember the first time that I met him, he showed up at our youth group because some of his friends had come. And at our church back then, we had just refinished our basement. It was beautiful. It was the heritage room. And we would rent it out for like wedding receptions and all that. It was really beautiful. I had done a bunch of the painting and whatever. And the first time that this guy, he showed up, he got mad because he thought someone called him stupid. And our leader didn't, but he didn't understand it that way. He thought she had called him stupid. He got so mad, he grabbed one of our chairs and threw it across the room that had just been finished for fancy wedding receptions. And that thing stuck in the wall. Like all four legs stuck in the wall. And it was like the feature wall. So it was like navy blue. And I'm a painter. And I looked at that and I'm like, oh, I can't touch that up. I gotta paint the whole stupid wall. And I chased him up because he ran out, and I chased him up and I caught him in the foyer and I had a good chat about why he was so angry. And then he ended up coming all the time. And so that's this kid here. I'm just gonna read a portion of what he sent me. Well, me and my wife were at the mall the other day, and my phone had notifications. I was like, well, I gotta see what this is about. So this is what he said to me. When I look back at my childhood, I remember the crappy and I remember the good. Specifically, I remember one day I was really down bad and you took me to the McDonald's in Falcon Ridge and you talked me down and you gave me some wisdom. Really just broke it down for me. And that kind of dedication is something I'd never seen before. Who was I? Just some scraggly North Side kid. But you really invested in me. And I never got to thank you for that. Because believe it or not, I always remember the stories that you told me in Sydney back in the day. And throughout my struggles, I remember the pieces of knowledge that you shared with us. and how much love you had in your heart for all of us troubled souls. That single day alone where we went to eat inspired me to become a sponsor with NA, Narcotics Anonymous. And every time that I take someone out for coffee or for a bite, I remember your gentle but firm words, your lecture, your affirmation that the road that I was on was only temporary and that I would find my way. And so from the bottom of my heart, Claudio, thank you. Thank you so much for being an inspiration to me and probably so many more. If you ever wonder someday if your work ever really does any good, rest assured that it surely does. So I'm not sharing this piece with you this evening so that I can pat myself on the back and you can all see what a wonderful person I am. I'm not tooting my own horn. The reason that I'm sharing this with you is because we can speak life or we can speak death. So this evening, I want to encourage you, choose life. Choose life with your words. Please pray with me.